on 1116 SEN. Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
7 past 9, good morning and welcome to the program. Sam Mitchell's action pretending to inject himself at Essendon players won't see him suspended or fined, in my opinion. It was not religious, sexual or racial vilification. It was a visual sledge designed to annoy, a rude one, and insensitive to colleagues. But I do expect the AFL Players Association CEO Paul Marsh to make a statement criticising Mitchell's action. Marsh would have to be disappointed that Mitchell showed a lack of empathy for his fellow players. The Essendon players have been through hell for 3 years, and the AFL tribunal couldn't be comfortably satisfied they had taken Thymerson B to 4. No one believes that the Essendon players ever took anything illegal knowingly. The lack of respect shown by Mitchell surely would be disturbing for Marsh. I'm KB. That's my take.
Oh, is that a needle? A little bit of needle in the game?
A little bit of needle. Wouldn't expect anything less from Hawthorn. Unsociable. They're here to win.
Said something that doesn't need to be said, and you know, it's probably not a good look for the game, so I shouldn't have done it and
won't happen again.
It's not in good taste, you know, it's not something that you want to see. You know, I got my kids here at the game watching, and you know, it's not something you want people seeing and talking about. You know, I don't think it's a good look, and I shouldn't have done it.
I think if he's apologised for it, then, you know, we'll let it go, but if it's something that's still out there, I think it's naive and idiotic, really, for someone to do that. If he has done it, but if he's apologised, then I think we let it go. It's disappointing for our playing group that that's still happening.
942-9-1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433-98-1116. If you want to tweet, at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Patrick Smith is going to join us, taking your calls on all things sport. It's always your forum to fire up your ticks and crosses from a huge weekend of sport. You may want to talk about Sam Mitchell, James Heard, naive, idiotic, he claimed. Mitchell was. Gold Coast Suns, of course, Carmichael Hunt on cocaine binges. Sorso Stephen Dank has been banned for life. Buddy Franklin, Kurt Tippett reported. And Richmond's great win over Sydney. Maybe it is going to be a Tigers Hawthorn Grand Final. Brett Phillips will join us with all the Wimbledon action, which starts tonight. Mark Allen and the world of golf. Nick Bowen will join us from afl.com.au with the latest injuries report and also match review panel charges as well. Get something off your chest always in the second hour, and then we finish off with Weekend Siren with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake taking your calls. But next, Patrick Smith.
They are going to be a very good club as distinct from a very good team, and that's important because they weren't a good club, and I think they've got every chance now of being a good club and in turn a good team. When a player is so badly hit in the head that he can't take the field again, then we have to look at what our sport is about. Chilling and disturbing, that pit of idiocy, they've got it, Kevin. Wait a second, wait, no, oh, Kevin.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith for Supergroups. Kubota Excavator Finance deals on now.
Patrick, good morning.
Good morning,
Kevin.
It's
been a big weekend of sport. This has been a big weekend of sport.
It's been an extraordinary week, hasn't it? And it's almost been grabbed by perhaps one of the most minor things, and that was Sam Mitchell's pretending to inject himself with obviously pointed at the Essendon players, Michael Hibbert in particular, I think it was. I think you've hit the nail on the head, Kevin, in your take, where you say it's not the AFL's responsibility as much as it is the Players Association who need to step in here, because it's the disrespect from one colleague to the other that I find upsetting, because I think that we all appreciate that these Essendon players have been through hell and back, and for an opposition player, for a cheap shot to do that, I think is pretty dreadful.
Well, I think Paul Marsh has worked pretty hard, hasn't he, to stand up for the Essendon players, always pointing out that they don't believe they did anything wrong knowingly, for starters. And most people have always talked about the Essendon players, if at all, being doped and duped, all those sorts of things. He's been very strong in protecting the Essendon players and standing up for the Essendon players and making certain that they're given some respect. But for one of the colleagues to disrespect the Players Association and his colleagues in that manner, I think would be pretty disturbing to Paul Marsh.
I'm
just expecting Paul to come out and say, look, you know, on behalf of the AFL Players Association, just want to put on the table, we are so disappointed with Sam Mitchell.
Yep, I think that at the very least has to happen. That's the way I would take it. I think the AFL should really hand pass it to the Players Association and say, well, we really think this is an issue for you. Among your players and your colleagues, you need to sort this out. That's the way I would do it.
Well, he won't get rubbed out and he won't get fined from the AFL. I mean, it wasn't vilification of any sorts whatsoever. It was a visual sledge. We hear, obviously, there's a lot of verbal sledges.
Well, you could argue it was bringing the game into disrepute. The AFL could argue it was bringing the game into disrepute.
They could, but I don't think they're going to do that.
I would hope that they'd get the Players Association.
Yeah. It was designed, I mean, it was to annoy. I mean, it was a rude one. And
it wasn't for the public. It was specifically for the Essendon player.
Often when they fine players for bringing the game into disrepute, it generally is when it's got something to do with the fans.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're trying to incite people or, you know, obviously if you're under the fence and, you know, start abusing fans and things of that nature, you'll get yourself into trouble. Because we had all that talk about Adam Goods, you know, was he trying to do that or was it just part of the Indigenous round? They said it was part of the Indigenous round. But in this particular case, I mean, it's out on the field. It's instead of being a verbal sledge, it was a visual sledge.
Yeah. Yep, I think that's the way it's got to go.
Now, James Hird did make a comment about it. He said it was idiotic and naive.
Yes. Well, it's probably both of those things. But James Hird, you know, he's got to choose his words carefully, James, where he's coming from, given the background to this. He's got to be careful too. I think that...
Sucked in by propaganda, he said.
Well, Kevin, I think that we have another segment tomorrow where we look at some things that have been said during the week. I would imagine that would be one of the ones on the short list, that comment about propaganda.
Gibberish of the week?
Yeah, gibberish of the week. I think that will be... We've got some mighty fine contenders, can I say, Kevin?
Have we?
We've got some fantastic contenders. The pit of idiocy may even be challenged. So that will come up tomorrow. I think it was a silly thing for James Hird to say, silly response. But I think he was probably a little bit standing up for his players in the manner that we think Ma should stand up.
Mm.
So he just chose the wrong words. Mm.
And of course, apart from that, the Bombers are losing. And all of a sudden, I'm reading articles, even Bomber Thompson, saying that maybe James Hird won't survive as coach.
Yeah, well, he's just not letting up, Bomber, is he, really? On the weekend, he said that the pressure's building. You can see the pressure is building. They've won four matches out of 12. Can they make the final eight? They'd have to win 8 out of 10. I think the pressure is building on him, and he's squarely now just been looked as a coach. What's he doing with this team? Is he getting it to play well? Is he getting it to play to its full potential? These judgments are now being made. And when you've got 1-4 for the year, it doesn't look very good for you.
And Pat, one of the other... There's so many big topics coming out this weekend, and we'll get to our callers very, very shortly. Gold Coast Suns, Carmichael Hunt, obviously has come out and he's given information to police and those investigating. Cocaine binges fueled by alcohol, taking 30 cases, a bunch of Suns players going along with him as well. No Gold Coast player actually put up their hand when questioned about Hunt's drug charges. When asked to come forward by the club or have any association with his activities, asked to come clean, not one player put up his hand from the Gold Coast Suns. Now, where's this going to lead the AFL, the Gold Coast Suns, and the rest of this season?
Oh, well, I think the AFL has to have a look at this in a really... rigorous manner. I'm not sure that first investigation, Kevin, where they asked the players and the players said no, and it appears to have been dropped. I don't know whether that was the toughest examination investigation held by the AFL. It goes back to what's the AFL's responsibility here, as say to Essendon, as to Carlton. Well, it's got a real responsibility here because it gave birth to this club. It's funded by this club. It wouldn't exist without millions, 100 million minimum, has gone into this club or will go into this club. It's got a real responsibility for it to be almost the showcase club, because this is how you run a club.
So it represents the AFL.
It represents the AFL. So when we hear these stories, and good on the reporter who broke the story on the weekend, drinking and cocaine binges involving as many as six players from the Gold Coast. That is really disturbing, and that is something that the AFL really has to be active about. Get in there and sort it out. You feel for Rodney Eade. I heard the Daniel Harford and Kingy in the morning talking about it, and they make the point that Rodney Eade has gone up to the Gold Coast to put the finishing touches on.
When
the premiership in a couple of years.
The president said, I won't be taking any holidays come September.
Yeah. And now they've won, what is it, one match, and this is broken. Clearly the culture there was a poor culture masked by the young talent and their ability to be exciting and win. Or you could look at it another way, masked by Gary Ablett. Mm. That's another way of looking at it because he was so influential.
One-man team.
Yeah. But it's a big issue for the AFL, and I think they'll be under increasing pressure from commentators in the media to see how they perform.
Let's see how the fans have a look at all these big topics over the weekend. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls, 9429 1116 0433 98 1116 if you want to send through an SMS. If you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport.
Probably a lot of people that could have done it before, but you know, it's a game of footy. You're not there to do stuff like that. You know, it's fine from the point of the scoreboard and that, but as I said, I've only seen it once, so I didn't take it too far.
There was Jake Carlisle talking about Sam Mitchell's gesture, not a good look. That was on AFL Game Day. Straight to our callers, Ticks and Crosses from a big weekend of sport. Need your thoughts. Ash is from East Doncaster. G'day, Ash.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How you going?
Going great. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no worries. I just think there's a massive, massive overreaction to what Sam Mitchell did. And I think he's more than done enough straight after the game in apologising for it and saying that he, you know, shouldn't have done it. And have to get, you know, the Players Association and everybody involved to give him a little smack on the wrist. I think he's old enough to know that, yeah, maybe he shouldn't have said it, but hey, things happen in the heat of battle. I'm sure there's a lot worse things said on the footy field that don't come to light. And I'm sure, you know, blokes like Trav Cloak every week would get bagged about his goal kicking. And, you know, does that need to then go to the AFL Players Association to say, leave Travis alone?
No, big difference, isn't there, Ash? Ash, such a big difference about giving a clip over
tickle up on the field.
Tickle up
your
about your goal kicking to injecting. Obviously, the reference was to injecting drugs. So,
and the ramifications of that whole case over the last 3 years, Ash, has been absolutely incredible, and it's still ongoing, as we know.
Yes, and Ash, I think you should read Jake Niles' piece in The Age today. It's a very good piece, and he talks about the unsociable Hawks, how they're very good at apologising after the event. I think they ought to be more aware of what they're about before they do it, rather than just easily just running off some apology afterwards.
So the suggestion from Jake is they're good at apologising.
Good at apologising, a bit like they play it tough, like the Australian cricket team with their sledging, and they're always ones put their hand up and say they're sorry, or just don't do it.
Alan's in Greenvale. G'day, Alan.
Good day, KB. Good day, Patrick. KB, first of all, thank you for the tickets. I took my son that was unwell with me, and he came with me for the first time in his 28 years to the footy. And even though we lost, I enjoyed the game for that reason.
Very good. Now, very good.
Thanks, KB. Now regarding Sam Mitchell, KB, I was just surprised that it came from him. If it was any other Bogan type footballer, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. But coming from him, it was, because he's one of those squeaky clean players that even though I'm an Essendon supporter, I actually admire. So that was a bit disappointing that it came from him. But then again, he apologised. So I guess we all make mistakes in the heat of the moment. He's done what he's done, and we just need to move on. Well, the other thing with the propaganda, Patrick, have you read Chip Legrand's book?
My word, yes. I've tweeted that it's a fantastic book and everybody should read it, because you get a thorough understanding of what was happening at Essendon.
Correct. And so because people have been fed only one side of...
No, they've been... Alan, please don't do that. They have been fed both sides. The whole talking point of this issue was the way the media split in two camps, Fairfax and News Limited. And one camp was presenting very strongly one side, and the other camp was effectively representing James Hurd and Essendon and the other. So both sides were out there, Alan. You've got to admit that. And it's pointless saying anything else.
I do admit that Robbo was, you know, changed 10 sides later on. But when you've got, 17 other rival club supporters being fed what they want to hear because of their hatred for Essendon.
Well, that's very different, yeah. Listening to only what you want to hear. And you've got to be careful of that too, Alan.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough.
Good on you, Al. I'm glad you enjoyed the game. This is what James Hurd had to say and what he meant by the use of the word propaganda.
I think all the media propaganda about what happened at our football club over a 2 or 3 year period. It's certainly damaged a lot of our people and our players. And our players, you know, talking to Michael, he says, well, it is what it is, but I think it's disappointing.
Disappointing, says James Hurd. Simon is in Geelong. G'day, Simon.
How are you, fellas?
Good, Simon.
Did you see what happened before before Mitchell turned around to Hibbert to show him what he's injecting the needle? Hibbert ran past him and gave him a forearm jolt to the back of the head or into the back of the shoulders. And that's what if Hibbert just had ran past him and not ran into him, we wouldn't be talking about this sort of stuff.
Oh well, we would be if the fact is the way Mitchell reacted to what is a common occurrence on a footy field. I mean, you see the players doing that to themselves all the time before bounces, or defenders doing it,
bumping into each other.
Yeah, all the time, Simon. It is the particular reaction that it drew from Mitchell that is worrying. If you're worrying in the sense that it shows a lack of respect from one colleague to another.
Snapper's out there in Port Phillip Bay. Wants to talk about the Blues, I reckon. G'day, Snapper.
Good morning, KB. Good morning, Patrick. How are we going?
Good.
That's good. Look, I'm very happy with the Blues win yesterday. Gold Coast, I think everyone's saying undermanned Gold Coast, but I think they got a good young batch of kids and they made it hard yesterday for Carlton. Should have won by a lot more, missed some easy chances, but as John Barker said, they'll probably slot in an extra shot or two during training. Yesterday, KB, there was an incident in the second quarter. Sam Doherty slung tackled a Gold Coast player over the boundary line. Umpire ran in, deemed it as a legal tackle, throw the ball in. Now, that won't get looked at because the Gold Coast player got up, but it looked worse, and I mean a lot worse than what Bryce Gibbs did. And another thing...
Still not allowed to sling tackle people over the boundary line. Now, I'd have to see that, but the umpire may have made a mistake. But even if a player's not injured, a sling tackle is illegal.
Well, according to the umpire's eyes on Sunday yesterday, the game...
But you would have seen that many times, Snapper, where, you know, close to the boundary line, you know, a player somehow pushes a player over and pushes him and goes into the fence or hits the ground or he's slung to the ground. The umpires come in and have paid free kicks many times in the past. So if that happened on the weekend, that was just a mistake. A lot of people not happy with the umpiring that game too, by the way.
No, they weren't happy with the umpiring. Umpiring was a bit ordinary. And another thing, Sam Mitchell, what he did, I reckon we're overreacting. These are grown men. These guys are sitting on $500,000 a season, and because he said a little jab, big deal.
No.
I've played footy. Hang on, Patrick. I've played footy, and I've heard a lot worse. I'm a wog, and I've been racially vilified while playing footy in my lifetime. But you know what? I get on with it, and right after the game, we shake our hands.
But you can't do that now, Snapper.
But you can't do that, Snapper. A lot of people who have been racially vilified don't get on with it.
Yeah.
But you've got to understand... People, of course, people make jibes on the footy field. It's the significance of this one. This is pointing to a 3-year case where players, their reputations are still on the line. There's a court case to go. So it's not a trivial issue. These players don't know what they were given.
They could be rubbed out.
They don't know what they've been given. Their health is still being assessed regularly because of the regime back in 2012. So you can just say it's insignificant, but in actual fact, it's not.
9429116. We're taking a call. 0433981116. Your ticks and crosses from what's been a very, very controversial and huge weekend in sport. Johnny's in Croydon. G'day, John.
G'day. How you going, Kevin? All this talk about drugs and this and that and the needle, you know, sign. What about the Mighty Tigers? And I want to thank you
yep.
for...
I don't.
going against Richmond and keep it up.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
This is one your strategy, was it, Kevin?
It's my strategy, and John understands where I'm coming from here, Pat. Reverse
John's
psychology.
John's pulling a leg.
No, no, he's fair dinkum. Reverse psychology. I get a lot of Richmond people tweeting me, Patrick, asked me just to tip against the Tigers because there seems to be something in it. It inspires the team, Pat.
Mm.
And I said a few weeks back, you laughed at me. You heckled me, in fact, that I said Richmond Hawthorn Grand Final. Now,
back on that.
How good is that looking at the moment, the Richmond Hawthorn Grand Final? You heckled me because I said maybe we should give some thought as to who should unfurl the Premiership flag.
Yes, yes, I did, and I'll probably heckle you again if you said
You'll probably
it.
Jump on the bandwagon in another couple of weeks' time.
No, I won't. Richmond were fantastic, Johnny. They were wonderful. Riewoldt was...
Can I give a tick? Can I give a tick to Jack Riewoldt and also the coaching staff for deciding to play Jack Riewoldt inside 50?
Yes.
Now, he kicked 6 goals. That's where he's dangerous, inside 50. He's hard to beat one-on-one. He's very, very quick. He's a beautiful kick. He reads the game beautifully. And when he's inside 50, every time he gets the ball in his hands, there's a good chance he's going to kick a goal. I know he can be up the ground on the wing and across half-back, and I know he can add extra numbers. But you know what, Pat? Where he's dangerous is when he's inside 50. He completely destroyed the Sydney Swans. And he can destroy other clubs as well by being inside 50.
Well, while you're giving yourself a pat on the back, why don't you give yourself a pat on the back about Colin Vickery?
Tyrone Vickery.
Tyrone.
Everyone scoffed and laughed at me over Tyrone. Now, how good was Tyrone in the second half?
He was fantastic. He was very, very influential, very strong, stood up, took punishment. He was wonderful.
Well, if you want to talk about your side on the weekend...
Not as good as Colin Vickery, but he was very good.
No, he's not. Tyrone is very, very good. If you'd like to join us, you want to talk about your club on the weekend, 9-4-2-9-11-16. Haven't heard from Sydney Swans supporters. A bit worried about the Swans on the weekend, led by 32 points. Teddy Richards, he really struggled on the weekend. Adam Goods really struggled on the weekend. What did you make of Adam Goods swinging his arm up in between the legs of the Richmond player?
Well, nothing really. Had he made contact?
What about the action of doing it?
Well, I guess if he was deliberately trying to hit the player in the testicles, I would think that.
Do you reckon he was? You don't think he was?
Well, I don't think he contacted him.
No, but was the action there to come up between his legs and hit him in the testicles?
Well, if it was, that's a desperate act, and one that. You know, you would hope he'd be reported for.
So does the AFL look at that? Does the AFL look at that? Attempted to strike in the testicles?
Well, if you see it in that light, I think the AFL should look at it. I haven't looked at it that closely, Kevin, but if you think it was an attempt to hit him in the testicles and only bad aim stopped that, then I think the AFL has to look at it and take action.
9-4-2-9-11-16, your ticks and crosses when we come back after the break and Sports Central.
I'm confident enough to say that broadly, I'm really confident in the culture at that footy club. So there's a lot of noise and a lot of speculation, but and there may well be something that comes out. People are, I think, making pretty broad statements and assumptions about that club, and there's no basis yet for saying it.
It defies credibility. It just defies logic and credibility for there to be a suggestion that a standing Royal Commission in Queensland is in some manner, shape or form protecting the Gold Coast Suns and their players. I mean, that's just not it.
Well, there's Gillon McLachlan. He did say yet, and John Withereth, also their chairman, both speaking on SCN about the Gold Coast Suns. Do you think, Pat, that the AFL's checks and balances on what's been happening up at the Gold Coast Suns would be a bit disturbing to them?
I would think they'd be bitterly disappointed that a club that they've funded, given birth to, and still fund, and is bleeding the competition heavily, so much so that a lot of clubs think the AFL's running out of money. It's costing them so much for these northern clubs. They would have thought that would be the one thing that they would get right, would be just the oversight of the players and all of those things like culture would be spot on. I think they'd be devastated.
But have they kept an eye on
that's what I'm saying.
Those areas, Pat? Or have they just they set it up, got it all going, keep putting in the money, but have they had enough people on the ground keeping checks for them?
That's what I'm saying, Kevin. They'd be devastated to find out that this was allowed to flourish, that somehow something wasn't in place, whether it's just simple leadership in the playing group, whatever, that they were not able to see it and govern it.
Mm. Now, what about Carmichael Hunt and Israel Flau when we talk about you know, the millions of dollars that were put into those two teams, Pat. Plenty of good publicity at the start, and everyone said, well, there's money well spent. But then on the other side of the coin, you got the defection of Israel Folau away from Australian rules football, and now we've got the drug-taking of Carmichael Hunt. Does that cancel out all the goodwill?
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it cancels out the immediate impact of making people realise that there was a Gold Coast side and a Greater Western Sydney side, and they were using champions from the NRL. I think that was... You couldn't put a figure on that. It was so valuable. Is it... I mean, it's diminishing all the time, and it's certainly diminishing at the Gold Coast this week. That said, I think Carmichael Hunt was very, very good away from the ground as a ambassador for the club. Andrew Brown was on the Morning Glory, and he's based up there, Andrew, a very good reporter. And he was saying that Carmichael had an absolute impact in the community in that way. But, Kevin, this is devastating to, as we said earlier on, this is the AFL's club. This should be the standard bearer. Mm. And look what's happening.
Let's go to our callers. Daniel is in Gladstone Park. G'day, Daniel.
Oh, hi, gents. Just a couple of quick points. With the Franklin incident where he ran past the ball to knock the Richmond player.
Shane Edwards.
If Gibbs got 2 weeks for a tackle that was a bit careless, and I'm...
Three down to two.
I'm a Carlton supporter, and I think he did have to get penalised for the tackle. But comparing it to Franklin's, you would have thought Franklin would get at least 2 weeks, possibly three.
It will all count on the medical assessment.
Yeah. I think most people think, Daniel, and a little bit later on, Nick Bowen will join us from afl.com.au and we'll have all the match review panel charges and we'll talk about it. But most people seem to think that it will be careless. Some people say intentional. I don't think it'll be intentional.
Why not, Kevin?
Because
I
think his intention was to bump. I don't think his intention was to hit him in the head. So that could be argued. So I would think it would be careless, and obviously it's high, and I would have thought the impact would be medium, because he did leave the ground and was off for a considerable amount of time being assessed. As we know what happened when he came back onto the ground, there was a mistake there with Shane Edwards. So, but most people looking at those sorts of figures are thinking he'll get 3 weeks, and if he accepts that, down to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Do people think there should be more?
What do you think he was trying to bump if it was not the head, Kevin?
Well,
given the likelihood of his size of his opponent.
What I'm saying is he shaped up to bump, ran past the ball. I would think it might be hard to say that his intention was to bump him in the head. I think you could say his intention was to bump, and then carelessly he bumped him in the head.
Disagree? Surely the rule is...
So you reckon it was he intentionally went to bump him in the head?
No, he intentionally bumped him.
Yes.
Now, as a offshoot of that, was contact was made to the head.
Yes.
Therefore, it's intentional.
Well, you could argue that. What do the fans think? 9-4-2-9-11-16. Just on the Sydney Swans, Pat, just looking at them the other night against the Tigers after half-time.
Well, you've turned on them.
Tippett looks like he's overrated again.
Doesn't look like an $800,000 player.
No, he does not. I know some people have suggested that even this year, I think it might have been Wayne Carey said they should offload Tippett if they can. Adam Goods, he really, really struggled, Goods. Sam Reed looked to be a gun a few years ago. I don't know whether Tippett coming there or Buddy Franklin going to Sydney has stifled him, but Sam Reed, he looks like he's a struggling player now as well. And Teddy Richards absolutely really did struggle.
Yeah, we've seen Goods impact games this year, though.
Not too many, I don't think, Pat.
Well, we've seen enough to suggest that he has got some role, even if it's off the bench. But Tippett didn't impact that game at all to me.
James joins us in Altona Meadows. G'day, James.
Morning, KB and Patrick. I want to talk about particularly Adam Goods and some other stuff regarding cocaine. I think the Richmond player should have laid charges against Adam Goods for sexual assault, and the AFL need to suspend Adam Goods for his action, and Sydney should sack him. Regarding cocaine use with the AFL, there's actually a product out there that if you take straight away, it's called Cocaine Detox Kit. if I take it straight after they take the cocaine, it'll get out of the out of their systems. And all the AFL players are using this.
Well, that's a big statement. That is a big statement, and you certainly took a sledgehammer to Adam Goods. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the investigation. Is it an AFL investigation with the Gold Coast Suns, Pat? Is that like a co-investigation, or is the AFL having its own investigation?
As I read it, Rodney, I think, referred to some sort of an investigation, joint investigation, but other people would argue that this really needs just the integrity section of the AFL to just go up there quite independently of everybody and just get to the bottom of it. And I think that that's correct. I think that's this is a job for the integrity department of the AFL.
Now, I dare say, Pat, over the weekend you would have got a lot of nominations on Twitter for your famous Goose and Goose of the Week. So we'll come back after the break. We'll take more of your calls as well and famous Pat's awards. Well, you can always agree or disagree whether Pat has nailed his Goose and Goose. That's coming up next.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week. On 11:16 SEN.
You can always agree or disagree with Patrick's famous nominations, his famous award, Goose and Goose.
Well, Kevin, I didn't find the Goose of the Week very difficult. I noticed you retweeted 150 times at Richmond. I discarded that.
Oh.
But I have put the Matildas back there as Goose of the Week again.
Even though they lost.
And they, Kevin, they were outclassed. There's no doubt about that. The Japan team was significantly more skilled. But they were gallant and only went down in the last couple of minutes. But what they've done for women's sport, I think, is immeasurable, really. So for 2 weeks running, I'm giving it to the Matildas as Goose.
Can't believe that. Can't believe you've given it to the Matildas after they got outclassed and lost, Pat.
Okay, well, I mean, Kevin,
honourable mention, surely. But
next year, next week, Kevin, I'll go for in advance the Matildas again. So that's three in a row.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Don't you butt in on mine?
No, I think the fans would say that. You know.
Well, who was Gus?
Well,
Rewald, was he?
It's not my award, Pat. I wasn't.
Well, then shut up.
Who's the?
If
goose?
It's not your award.
Well, who's the
shut
goose
up.
Then?
Goose. Well, there was a lot for the
uncalled for
AFL Institute Interchange Steward.
Well, they're surely it's got to be Goose of the Week. He sends on Shane Edwards, says go onto the field. Could have cost Richmond the game. Then they say, oh, you know what? He shouldn't go onto the field. Tell the umpire, give a free kick, give 50-metre penalties, and let Smith have a shot for goal to bury the Tigers. Fortunately, Smith missed. You can't get a bigger goose than that, can you?
A lot of our callers thought Rita Panahi was Goose of the Week. Now, Rita wrote that strong column
article
on women's sport. Mm-hmm. A lot of people objected to that, but she made this short list. Hurd made the short list for his propaganda remarks, which is odd because he, of course, employed a PR man through the whole case back in 2013. But Kevin, the winner has gone to Stephen Dank, banned for life for his part in the drug regime at Essendon in 2012.
And he got interviewed the other day. There was in the Herald Sun, I think it might have been on the weekend. Got interviewed at some function. He was at some function with he was at, and Mike Sheehan interviewed Stephen Dank on that occasion.
It was I saw that, Kevin. I've noted it. So a crazy interview.
You have noted in your column today.
Yes, yes.
You've written about that. What Stephen Dank said to the questioning by Mike Sheehan.
Well, Dank made this point to Mike Sheehan. Mike, you're talking about a system where the burden of proof is on the person who has been charged. That is certainly not the case in a judicial forum, is it? Meaning, if he went to the tribunal, he would. The AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal, the onus would be on him to prove his innocence. That's completely wrong. Just simply wrong. The onus was on SADA to prove their case. When it's at a show cause stage, that very initial stage, yes, that's when the onus is on the person who's getting the show cause to prove that...
Shouldn't get one.
Mm. But after that, it just goes back to the normal procedure. Now, for him to even attempt to get away with that He should have been picked up by Mike on that. And then later on he says, Michael, has any player associated me with failed a drug test? Well, the answer is no, but then neither did Armstrong. Has any player anywhere associated with me been found guilty? Well, I can name 12 NRL players who accepted a 12-month ban from ASADA for their part for taking illegal drugs under Stephen Dank's regime at Cronulla. So, again, Mike didn't pick that up, and he should have picked up. There's Dank just waffling on, just being grossly inaccurate. And then he has the indignation. He's so indignant that Gillon McLachlan didn't take his call when he was banned for life.
This is a bloke who hasn't...
hasn't gone up to a tribunal yet.
No, hasn't turned up to anything to protect the Essendon players, which he says have always... they've never done anything wrong, and he knows exactly what's happened. But not once has he ever lifted a finger to help those Essendon players. That's why I've always said on this program, I take no notice of anything that Stephen Dank says.
He's an
awful person.
If you're interviewing him, you only ask him one question. What have you done for the players over 3 years?
Nothing.
Yep. He stands condemned on that.
Okay. Goose and Goose nominations. Do you agree or disagree? Anthony joins us from Croydon. G'day, Anthony.
Yeah, g'day, KB. Before, when you're talking about buddies should be expecting 2 weeks, is that what you said?
Yep, I think he'll get three, and then by accepting that, they bring it down to two.
But are you forgetting one important new rule this year?
You tell me what it is.
The Hawthorn rule. Remember the new rule. Patrick, you remember it.
Hawthorn rule.
The Hawthorn rule.
He doesn't play for Hawthorn.
No, there's a new rule, KB, at the tribunal. It's called what damage could have been caused.
Yes.
Yes. That.
And it was applied to Hodge, and it was applied to Lewis.
Yes.
Now let's see if the tribunal can apply some consistency to the way they grade these incidents.
Well, they've always had that. What damage could have been caused? Because if there's an attempted strike or attempted to kick somebody or attempted to do something to any individual, there's always that's how that is graded. That's why when there's an attempted to strike, even if you don't make contact, that they then just look at it and say, well, what would happen if, in fact, you did make contact? So that's always been in the rule book.
And I reckon, Anthony, when they bring out their assessment later this afternoon, you'll find it's there again. So I don't think they'll ignore it, if that's what you're suggesting.
But you're saying he'll get deemed to be intentional, Pat?
I think he will, yeah.
Okay. Okay. A break. We'll come back. And, Pete, you'll be first cab off the rank. Bit of criticism, Pat, for you off the SMS. What about the young golfer Cameron Smith at the US Open? I think he should have been the goose of the week.
No, goose of the week. Goose of the week.
Should have been goose.
No, but, Kevin, there's been a groundswell, as you've told me, from our listeners, that I'm never to give it a golfer again. So okay. I couldn't possibly do it.
Double standards, Patrick. You wouldn't nominate a men's team for losing, and it wasn't even the grand final, says Kaz.
Well, that's wrong. I've done that before.
I was just a bit surprised that you went for the Matildas again after they lost. And
You're from the Rita Panahi School of Women's Sport, aren't you?
No.
Of course you are.
You gave them the week before, which I thought...
For beating Brazil.
I thought that was outstanding.
For beating Brazil. And then they put up a fantastic effort against Japan. They were outclassed.
Adam Goods' actions, that's why he gets booed every week, because he does crap like that.
That is nonsense. That is nonsense. I'll talk about that tomorrow, Kevin, and straighten that caller out.
Okay. KB, if Buddy played for the Hawks, a bump like that, you would say must be suspended. Now you want to go soft on him because he plays for Sydney. No, I said he'd get 3 weeks. I don't think that's going soft. I think he'll get 3 weeks. Pat, always great to catch up, and we'll speak again tomorrow.
Sure will.
Okay, coming up, we'll talk some tennis, we'll talk some golf. Nick Bowen joins us, don't forget Weekend Siren with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake.